The Supreme Court ended the legal battle over Florida's 25 electoral votes, paving the constitutional way for George W. Bush to become president. But the analysis of Florida's disputed ballots continues as news organizations begin to study them. This weekend, The Washington Post reports that disproportionate numbers of ballots with votes for Democratic Vice President Al Gore were thrown out for a variety of reasons. Dan Keating reported the story and is in our studio. Good morning, Dan.
Morning.
Give us a snapshot of the analysis that you did and what you discovered.
What we were able to do is look at something that really has never been examined before, which is the actual ballot-by-ballot records, not the summaries by precinct or county, but the actual contents of what the computers read on each ballot. So we could see, we all knew after the election there were tens of thousands of overvotes that were spoiled, but now we were able to see for the first time on those overvotes what was punched, and on the ballots that were undervotes, we were able to see what the rest of the voting pattern was, and that enabled us to understand better.
What were your conclusions based on what you found?
One of the most striking things was that Al Gore was one of the choices on an overvote 87% of the time, whereas George Bush was one of the choices on an overvote 33% of the time. We really did not expect to see a gap anywhere near that size.
What do you think this means?
Well, overvotes are a really interesting phenomena. Undervotes, where people don't make a vote for president, some people argue it's because they have trouble with the technology or something. Some people say an undervote simply means they didn't want to vote for somebody, and that's a very easy to understand argument. Overvotes are just incredibly difficult to understand why somebody would wait in line, go to the polls, and intentionally spoil their vote. And based on the fact that in some places where the technology checks for overvotes and warns people, and in the cases where people get warned, they don't overvote. Mm. They say, oh, I made a mistake, and they get to fix it. So based on that, my feeling is that overvotes are accidents from people who don't understand the system.
So they went out to vote and didn't know how to vote.
Exactly.
The Washington Post is just one of a group of news organizations that are examining the Florida vote. The Miami Herald, for example, is conducting its own study. What else are you looking for?
Those studies are very different than what yesterday's story in the Post was about. Those studies, which the Washington Post is involved with, are looking physically at the paper punch cards or ballots in Florida. This story was based on the computer records ballot by ballot. And from some we've looked at already, it is amazing the variety of things that people do on their ballots. They write notes. When it says fill in the oval, they circle the name. We even saw punch card ballots in which people took a pencil and marked X on it. It's just amazing what people do. But a lot of times when you look at it, you can kind of see who they wanted to vote for, although certainly they didn't do a very good job of it.
What kind of checks and balances are you putting on your own analysis of these votes? I mean, what about the possibility of bias entering the results?
Yes, we take that very seriously, and we have gone to a lot of trouble to address that. The group of news organizations the Washington Post is involved with, which includes the Wall Street Journal and LA Times and CNN and AP and New York Times and St. Petersburg Times and so forth, we have hired the National Opinion Research Center, which is called NORC at the University of Chicago, and they are professionals in field data research. They are very meticulous. Secondly, we are having three people independently look at each ballot. And we're not having them say vote or not vote. We're having them describe under a classification scheme what they see. So they see a dimple. They see a hanging chad. They see a dimple with sunlight. So we're measuring the objectivity. We're having independent people do it. And we're having them classify it so that then later we can use different standards to measure it. And lastly, when we finish, we're going to completely release all of our data to the public. In other words, every classification that every coder did is going to be released to the public, for political scientists, for the parties, and we hope for election officials to use also to help address some of the problems in the voting system.
We do have a president. The election is over. Why are you doing this?
Definitely. And I'm glad you said that, because, and I don't want anybody to think yesterday's story in the Post or this effort in Florida is some kind of misguided effort to resolve the election. Or we're not election supervisors. That's not our job. What we're trying to do is say America needs to learn some things from what happened down there, and being ignorant about what was on those ballots isn't going to solve anything. The more we know, the better solutions we can do, the better we can understand what happened.
Dan Keating is a reporter for The Washington Post. Thanks a lot, Dan.
Thank you.